point to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the situation.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. God has been good to you. I say God has been good to you. How do I know God's been good to you? Because God is a good God. Oh, yes, yes. God is a good God. You know, sometimes we don't understand what God is up to, and sometimes we don't really appreciate what's happening in our life at the moment. But God is up to something great. How do I know? The scripture says, and we know that all things work together for the good, for those that love the Lord and for those that are called according to his purpose. Listen, you do love the Lord, don't you? Well, if you love the Lord, then it's going to work out for the good. All right. We are so excited that you have joined us today in this Situation Room. Yes, I'm so excited to have you tuning in this morning. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your workplace, your automobile by way of internet radio. Some of you are listening out there on your smartphone. Some of y'all are walking out there in the park and stuff, and you be listening on your smartphone. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. Today is the day that we focus in on our Bible question. We focus in on Bible questions and answers. Yes. And I love Bible questions and answers. And now listen, just in case you have Bible questions, or you have marriage questions, or you have questions pertaining to the Christian life, you can email them. Yes, you can email them, or either you can call them in. Now I need y'all to start emailing me or calling them in, because I need some Bible questions. I need some Bible questions, because now if I don't have no Bible questions, then I'll have to come up with the question. Yeah, I'll have to come up with the question just based on past experience, questions that I know people have asked in the past, in my early days in ministry, just from the wealth of experience that I've encountered in the past. I have to pull back and start going back in my mind and getting some of those old questions out that folks have asked me in the past. And I put them on. I got a bunch of them. But I want some fresh stuff too. I want some fresh stuff. I want some stuff that my listeners, I want to know that I'm really helping you. I want to be scratching where you're itching at. I don't want to be scratching where you're not itching. I want to be scratching where you're itching at. And the way I know where you're itching is when you send these questions in. Now, you can send them in at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in and leave them on the voicemail, 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. And those of you who go there to the church here at Bible Way, you know, you can fill it out, put it on a piece of paper or something, and when you turn your offering in, you can just put it in the offering basket, and I'll get them. I'll get your questions. All right. Let me get my Bible. All right, I got my Bible. You got your Bible? All right. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can write down the scriptures and you can go back and read them later on. All right. First question, do you have to confess your sins publicly? The last time we asked that question, but we didn't have time to answer it. And so we're going to answer it today. Do you have to confess your sins publicly? Do you have to confess your sins publicly? Well, it all depends on who you ask. Some people say that you have to confess your sins publicly. That's what some of them say. But I don't agree. I don't agree. I know a lot of people tells you that, yeah, you need to go ahead and confess it publicly because confession is good for the soul. They'll tell you that you need to confess it publicly because that's good for the soul. As long as you don't confess it publicly, then the devil, he's got rights to attack you and things like that. But I don't so much agree with confessing your sins publicly. And I'm going to tell you why. Because not everybody can handle certain information. Did you hear what I said? I don't believe you need to confess all your sins publicly because not everybody can handle certain information. Now, a lot of churches have been torn up. A lot of churches have been torn up. You know why? Because people confess their sins publicly. Yeah. I've heard of marriage couples confessing their lust towards somebody else of an opposite sex, or confessing their lust to somebody publicly, and the next thing you know is those couples are getting divorcing. They're divorcing one another, and their mate soon marry that person that they was lusting after. Do you see that person would have never known that person had lust in their heart for them if they wouldn't have confessed that publicly. And so you see how the devil tore up that marriage? Yeah. No, I believe you should practice this rule. Now listen to me good here. I believe that you ought to practice this rule. Only confess your sins to the circle that it was committed in. Let me say that again. Only confess your sins to the circle that it was committed in. See, if you done something or somebody wrong, then you go to that person and you confess to that person one-on-one. It wasn't nobody but you and that person in that circle. So you go and confess to that person one-on-one. Now, if you sin against a small group, then you go confess your sins to that group. In other words, keep it right there in that circle. You see? You go and you confess your sins to that group. Now, if you commit a sin publicly, before the church, then you got to confess that before the church. Yeah, see, because in other words, whoever already know about your sin, that's who you confess your sin to. If I done somebody wrong, well, that person know about, you know, me doing them wrong. So I need to go to that person. That's my circle. Or in that group, if I let the group down, well, the group know about it. The group know about it. Then I need to go confess my sin to that group, you see? Well, same thing. If the whole church know about it, then I need to confess my sins before the whole church. All right, so live by that rule. Live by the rule. Only confess your sins to the circle that it was committed in. In other words, the people who know about the sin, then you confess your sin to those people that know about the sin. If they don't know about it, don't be sharing that information. Again, let me repeat, you want to be very careful confessing your sins publicly, because not everybody can handle that information. See, your children may be there. Your children can't handle certain information. All your children's friends may be right there in the group or what have you. They can't handle that information. Nosy people and gossipers can't handle certain information. So you got to be very, very careful, because you can make something bad, you can make it worse by thinking you're doing something good, but you just didn't use no wisdom. You got to use some wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, and all that getting, you know, get some understanding. So make sure you get you some wisdom and some understanding before you just go and just blab your sins out before folk. See, you know, in school today, kids are being bullied and everything. And you don't want to say certain things before the congregation or certain things before a group of folks where your children going to be embarrassed, and then your children friends going to start teasing them and stuff. So you got to be very, very, very careful with all of that. And you don't want the devil to take what is intended to be good and use it for evil. So I practice that rule. Let me get you a scripture too. The Bible says over there in James chapter 5 verse number 16, because now you do want to confess your sins. You do want to confess your sin, but make sure that you confess your sins to the right person, okay? That's all I'm saying this morning. Make sure you confess your sins to the right person. Look here in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Yeah. So be very careful. Be very careful when you confess your sins and confessing your faults and stuff one before another. Be very careful. Some things need to be confessed, like I said, in a group, some privately, one-on-one, and then others, you know, before the congregation. It all depends on where that sin was committed. But you do want to confess it. Because David talked about that as long as he tried to hold it in and he didn't confess, his body waxed away. In other words, he started looking older than what he was. Yeah, that's what's wrong with a lot of people. A lot of people got unconfessed sin in their life and unconfessed forgiveness in the life, and as a result, they are wasting away. They are waxing old, as the Bible say. So the bottom line, you don't necessarily have to confess your sins publicly, but you do have to confess your sin. Yeah, you do. And it may be you may have to go to your a pastor and his wife and confess your sin. Whoever, you know, you committed that sin against, that's who you really need to go and confess it to. Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that helped you. And pray that God give you wisdom, too. All right. Let me move on to the next question. The Bible says that we are to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. How do we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind? That's a very good question. Yeah. Let me go over here and get the scripture where that was taken from. That was taken out of Matthew chapter 22. Jesus gave the commandment there in verse number 36 through 40. 36 through 40. You can read that. He gave the two great commandments. The first great commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then the second great commandment is this, to love your neighbor. Love thy neighbor as you love thyself. All right, and so the question was, how do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Well, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind means to love God with your whole being, with your whole personality. See, God has given you a mind to think with, a heart to love with, and a soul to express yourself with. Your soul is your five senses. That's the real part of you. The outside is not the real part of you. The outside is the house that you live in. The inside is the real you. Yeah, the outside is just like a house. The inside is your spirit in the house. Your soul. Your five senses. So to love God with everything on the inside, that's basically what he's saying, then you need to practice those first four commandments of the Ten Commandments, because basically what Jesus did when he said love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself, he basically looked at the Ten Commandments and he broke it up in half. Just about the first four commandments focus on loving God, and the last six commandments of the Ten Commandments focus on loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you're going to really love God, then you need to practice those first four commandments. Which is, you know, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. And then thou shalt not make any graven images of God or anything that in heaven above, on earth beneath, or in the water that's under the earth. And then the third great commandment is, you know, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then and you do that by, you know, not cursing or being a hypocritical Christian. You know, you got the name Christian, but you're not acting like a Christian. That or either, you know, cursing, using a lot of swear words, then you're taking God's name in vain. And then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Take off one day out of a week and go worship God. Yeah, so put God first. And that's why we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. And so we are showing the world that we believe in God. So if you practice the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments, then you are showing that you are loving God. Also, if you just really want to break that down, because you can love God with your mind, and one of the ways you love God with your mind is really having the mind of Christ. Having a mind of Christ. Let me go over here. The Bible tells us to have the mind of Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter, let's see, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5 through 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." When you love God with your mind, you have a humble mind where God can instruct your mind and tell your mind what to do. And so you obey God. You obey God. You have an obedient mind. You have a humble mind, just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did when he came to this earth. He humbled himself, and God asked Jesus, God the Father asked Jesus to die on that cross, and Jesus died on that cross. Now, how did he get there? It started, though, with what? The mind. It started with the mind, and he loved his Father greater than he even loved himself. You see, so he loved God the Father with his mind. He loved the Father with his heart. And he loved him with his soul, because he was willing to put himself on that cross. He was even willing to wash other people, his disciples' feet and stuff like that. So Jesus is a great, he's our ultimate example. And loving God with your heart means that your affections are for God. You love what God loves, and you hate what God hate, you know. As a matter of fact, something else came to my mind on loving God with your mind, right over here in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, one verse, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So when you love God with all your mind, you are focused, you are focusing on the stuff that God would focus on. Yeah, you focus on just stuff, pure stuff, lovely stuff, a good report. You're not watching crazy stuff on television, sinful stuff, worldly stuff. You're not putting that in your mind, because garbage in, garbage gonna come out sooner or later. And see, the Bible tells us to transform our mind by the renewing, to have a transformed life by the renewing of our minds. It starts with the mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then loving God with your heart, as I was saying, it means that your affections are for God. Yeah, yeah, you run after God. Yeah, that's what you do. You have a heart after God. Your soul thirsty. David talks about that in Psalm 63. He said, "My soul thirsts for God." David was like addicted to God. Listen, you need to be addicted to God. You need to have God. You need to run after God. You need to have love for God. And then loving God with your soul means that you use your five senses for God. In other words, you live for God. The Bible says, it talks about this man named Job. You remember Job? Job, the Bible says, was perfect, and he was upright, and one that feared God. And he enshone evil. He shunned away from evil. See, Job was such an upright man in his soul that God recommended him to the devil. Yeah, God recommended him to the devil. He said, have you considered my servant Job since you're going up and down and throughout the earth? Have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, I've been looking at him, but I can't get to him because you got a hedge around him. And God says, I'll let you get to him. I'll take the hedge down, but you can't. You can take everything, but you can't take his soul. You got to leave his soul alone. You got to leave him alone. You can't kill him. And the devil killed Job's children, stole his animals, destroyed all his crops. But what did Job do? Job said, the Lord done gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job was such a righteous man. In Job 31 and 1, Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid. In other words, Job didn't go girl watching and stuff. No, not Job. Job was so righteous that he would not look upon another woman with lust in his heart. No. And so when you're going to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you ain't watching a lot of crazy stuff on television. You're not watching a lot of sinful stuff on television. You're not listening to a lot of worldly music. You're not putting yourself in a worldly environment. No. See, the Bible says that we ought to be holy people of God. And so you got to live a separate life. And so by you living a holy life and a separate life, a life where you have coming out of the world and you are being ye separated, said the Lord, then you're showing right there. You're showing right there that you love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Yeah. And so when you are living a life like Jesus, then you know that you are loving God now with your heart, with your soul, and with all your mind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all for this portion of this Situation Room. It was indeed a plum pleasure to have you today in the Situation Room. We hope something was said, something was done to help you and encourage you on your Christian journey. All right. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour we minister in the word, and the bottom of the hour we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Now get ready for Miss June Hunt. She's coming on in just a minute or so. And boy, she's a great counselor. All right. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll be back to take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. Then at 12 o'clock, amidst in these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us. Because we're in your corner, right here, in the Situation Room.